out there, and we know the issues. We know the issues today. Yes, no question about it. We don't live in fantasy land. And I hope and pray that with all of my heart and with all of my soul, the Lord comes back in my lifetime.
Amen.
And he may do it. Turn to John chapter number 3 with me this morning, please, in verse number 1. John 3, verse 1. If you like to stand, we read the infallible text.
Amen.
John 3, 1. John chapter number 3 and verse 1. The scripture says, "And there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him." His answer is to the point. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Father, bless your word now as it goes forth. Use, Lord, this piece of clay. God, get the truth out. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. The Pharisees arose, if you don't know this, during the Babylonian captivity. They were there for 70 years. Jeremiah said there'd be 70 years, seven Sabbaths of the land, and they were there and they came back. They went into Babylonian captivity because of idolatry. And God brought them out, and when he brought them out, idolatry was finished. Israel never had a problem again with idolatry. While there, the Pharisee was born. The Pharisee was a very stringent keeper of the law to the letter of the law. And so, therefore, he became the spiritual instruction for the people of Israel, the teachers, the sages, the rabbis of that day 2,000 years ago. But when the Lord Jesus Christ showed up to Nicodemus, he really didn't know who he was. He didn't understand who he was. And the truth of the matter is, today, if you ever know who he is, it's going to be because God reveals him to you. He said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And some Moses, some Elias, some Jeremiah, one of the prophets. He said, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Lord said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed that to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I pray that before you leave this world, that that will be revealed to your soul as to who the Lord Jesus Christ really is. He's not the head of some religious denomination. He's not something to pin on your shirt for a while, but that he's a novel thing, you know, a fad to come today and go tomorrow. I've seen fads come and fads go. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. And there's nothing going to change that whatsoever. But what we have here is a confrontation. We have a meeting of the Lord Jesus with a human being. And that human being is Nicodemus. We know Nicodemus lived because of the scripture. We also know that Annas and Caiaphas lived 2,000 years ago, the high priest. We also understand that they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Religion had a hard time with him. Organized religion 2,000 years ago just could not get it together when it came to the Son of God. They found 1,990 an ossuary. Inside a cave, that ossuary had the name Caiaphas on the side of it. Quite a remarkable find, don't you think? Caiaphas, the one that lived 2,000 years ago, was his ossuary. Now, what's an ossuary? An ossuary is a thing where it's literally a bone box. They'd lay the body down until the flesh deteriorated. Then they'd gather the bones together and they'd put them in a box and they'd seal that box and that became an ossuary. And they say that they found human remains in this one. They found the bones, no doubt, of Caiaphas. Aren't you glad they never found the bones of Christ?
Amen.
They can hunt from one end to the other. If the Jews could just produce the body of the Lord Jesus Christ after the crucifixion, we wouldn't be here today.
Right.
Christianity would have died in its tracks. But you see, they couldn't produce a body. So all they could do is lie. And the reason they could not produce a body, because there was no body. The Lord Jesus Christ was alive. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
And so we have a problem with religion right off the bat. Religion has never been the friend of the Lord Jesus Christ and is not this day. The Christian religion, for all that it professes to be, especially in this country, is not really the friend of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a Samaritan woman, John 4. He met her at the well. She was a Samaritan. The Samaritans, my friend, have their own Pentateuch. It's called the Samaritan Pentateuch. It's on Mount Gerizim. And that Pentateuch dates all the way back to the time of Moses. And it's remarkable to take it and lay it down next to the Pentateuch that you have in your Bible. And they are so similar between the two of them. Just another record of God preserving His Word. Therefore, she was not ignorant of the truth. She knew that Messiah would come, but she didn't know who He was. And so He presents Himself to her, and being a sinner that she was, she really didn't have any trouble accepting Him as her Messiah. There's the woman who touched the hem of His garment. You remember her? If I can just touch His garment, I know I'll be healed. If you go back and study the text, you'll find out that the garment was anointed of God. For when God poured the oil over the head of the individual to be anointed, that oil would run down and drip off their beard and run all the way down their body to the hem of the garment. And that hem of the garment represented the anointing power of God. And so she said, if I can just touch that anointing, God Almighty will heal me. Let me tell you something. I'm not a good Baptist when it comes to some of these doctrines. I believe in the anointing power of God. I believe that God still heals. I believe that He's able to change you and save you and write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And my Baptist brethren, they say God quit healing 2,000 years ago. A lot of them change their mind when they're in hospital. But it's a good doctrine to get up and carry on so you can be accepted by the brethren. He heals, folks. He still heals. Then there's the Syrophoenician woman, and she's quite in contrast to all the rest of them. Look at Luke chapter number 4 in your Bible. The Gospel of Luke chapter number 4. It's quite a remarkable thing, this Syrophoenician woman, because she was a Canaanite. She was from outside the boundary of Israel. She really didn't have any right to the Son of David. And my friend, she didn't really know much about the religion of Israel. All she knew was that she had a child that was demon-possessed. She had one that the devil had sifted, and we're seeing that today. They showed a couple on TV this morning that had done something. One of their eyes open and bulging out. When you see eyeballs open and bulging out, you're looking at a demon-possessed person. Amen. Quiet, isn't it? That's what you're still looking. These streets in America are full of people that are walking around with their eyes bulging out of their head and they're demon possessed. We are witnessing a confrontation between the power of God and the power of hell. We will see if the Lord doesn't tarry, if the Lord tarries His coming, we will see physical manifestations of the spirit world that's at work right now that you can't see. You will begin to see them. People will start having visions. People will have encounters. Why? Because we are entering into the last of the last days before the coming of the Lord. The Syrophoenician woman, Luke chapter number 4, verse 24. Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you the truth. Many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisuus, the prophet. One is Elijah, the other is Elias. And none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. What's the point? What's he trying to say to these people? He's saying to these people that you've got the Bible. You've got the temple. You've got Jerusalem. You've got the priesthood. You've got the oracles of God. You've got all the things that are holy that pertain to the Lord. And yet he said, nobody is being healed in your country. Nobody is receiving anything from God. Here's the problem. And that is when you become familiar with holy things. Familiarity with that which is holy is one of the worst things that can happen. Go back to the book of Kings now. I want you to look at what God said in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 9. 1 Kings 17, verse 9. This is quite a revealing thing. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 9. Remember the Syrophoenician woman. Remember that one that is outside the commonwealth of Israel. Remember the poor, ignorant pagan that does not have access to the great truths that you have. Yet in their heart and their soul, they have a need. God has a way of reaching people like that. In 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 9. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this is Elijah, verse 1, chapter 17, the Tishbite. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Watch this. I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now look at this carefully. If you go ahead and read the text and read the context of what you're talking about here, she didn't know a thing about any of this. She had no clue of what was going on. She didn't have a clue of who to turn to and the need she had. She was preparing for herself and her son to die. That's all. Yet God said, I have commanded, verse number 9, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now think about it. Elijah is the prophet of Israel. Elijah is the one who came before Ahab and said, there's not going to be any rain for 3 years. God's going to judge you in this wicked place. So no rain. And because of that, famine in the land. And so God's going to take care of his prophet. So how's he going to feed his prophet? Well, in one place, the ravens brought him food and took care of him. In another place, listen. In another place, God is going to feed this prophet through a Canaanite pagan woman that doesn't know anything about what has been happening. She doesn't have a clue. Yet God said, I have commanded her to feed you. The command went forth from the mouth of God. That command carried the power of God. That command carried the will of God. Hallelujah. That was God's word going out, and nothing could stay his hand. Are you listening? When God says up, it's up. When God says down, it's down. When God said move, you move. And when he shuts the door, it's shut. When he opens it, it's open. God said, if I open that door, no man shuts it. If I shut that door, no man opens it. I live in a country where God can shut the door anytime he pleases. And he can open it if he pleases. The command goes forth. The woman didn't know anything about all this. Didn't need to. We don't need to know every step God's taking. We don't need to know exactly what's going to happen tomorrow. We just need to know the one who controls tomorrow. You remember Joseph? When Joseph was taken from his brethren, he was a dreamer. He was a dreamer. When you go back and read that, you'll find that Joseph had dreams. His brother got mad because Joseph was talking about the stars. And he was talking about holding the stars in the hand. He's talking about bowing down and all of this. And his brethren and his father Jacob said, surely you're not talking about us bowing down to you. And Joseph said, this was the dream that I had. And so they hated him for it, but his father made him a coat of many colors. He loved Joseph. Do you know why he loved him? He loved him because he was a dreamer. He loved him because he was the son of his love. He loved him because Joseph was different. Listen, once we lose that differential, that makes us different from this world, then my dear friend, we're nothing anymore. We're different. I'm still a man. I still sin. I still get sick. I still get hungry. But I'm not what I used to be. Amen. So the father loved him. Made a coat for him. His brethren hated him. And they dug a ditch and they were going to kill him, but his older brother stepped in for him. And so they sold him to the Ishmaelites. A long time Joseph was in the hands of he was a slave. Sold, bought and sold, like a piece of property. Sold to the Ishmaelites. Eventually wound up in Egypt. Working for Potiphar. Potiphar's wife wanted to seduce him and he would have no part of it. So he wound up in prison. While he was in prison, he might have thought to himself, where's God? Because I served him. I did what he said to do. What happened to Joseph? Well, let me tell you what happened to him. Joseph learned that circumstances have nothing to do with your relationship with the Lord. Amen. God commanded, he said. I have commanded that she feed you. But she hadn't received it yet. But he commanded her. I believe in the Word. I believe in the power of the Word. I believe the Word is able to do above and beyond all that you ask or think. I believe the Word is the living Word. The Word of God is alive. So Joseph one day was finally brought out of Egypt's bondage, raised to the second place only to Pharaoh. And because of that, Joseph had a direct hand in seeing to it that the Mashiach, the Messiah, would live on this earth. For if Satan could have destroyed the Jewish people, you would not have a Savior.
Amen.
And in every place throughout that Bible that Satan tried to destroy them, God intervened. Look at Genesis chapter number 6. Sons of God knew the daughters of men. Angels came down, cohabited with women. The Bible says there are giants in the earth in those days. God chose one man, out of all those people. And the Hebrew word said he was perfect in his generations. That word perfect mean? That word perfect is the Hebrew word tanim. It literally means that he was a pure descendant of Adam all the way back to Genesis 3:15. And therefore he was in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan was trying to destroy the Messiah again. During the time of Haman, when the people were in the land, Haman the Agagite, he had a vendetta for Jews. He hated them. So what did he do? Under Ahasuerus, he sent out a pogrom. He sent out a declare to kill all the Jews. Wipe them from the face of the earth. And the pit that he dug for somebody else, he fell in himself. For God kept his people alive.
Amen.
So the Messiah could be born. When the Lord Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men came from the east and said, "Where is he that is king of the Jews?" Herod, the so-called great, one of the worst monsters that ever walked the face of this earth, was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And so he inquired of his wise men where Christ should be born. And they quoted Micah chapter number 5 and verse number 2. It said, "O Bethlehem, though thou be the smallest among the many of Judah, out of him, out of thee, shall he come forth who will be ruler of my people." And so they knew that Christ would be born. What happened? You know what happened. Even though the wise men left and Herod said, "Go find him and let me know where he is so that I might come and worship him." Did he want to worship Christ? He wanted to kill him. He wanted to do away with him. But he couldn't do it. Why? "I have commanded." "I have commanded." I want you to look at something over here with me. Isaiah chapter number 46 and verse number 11. Isaiah 46 and verse 11. Now we live in a time when politics is definitely on the center stage. A lot of people are depressed because of what happened in the election of the president. To make myself clear with you, I voted for Donald Trump. I felt it my need. I felt it my obligation as an American citizen to exercise my right. So I voted for him. And from all appearances, he has lost. And someone else is going to become the president. Joe Biden will be the president, the 46th president of the United States. Now, I can go crawl off in a corner somewhere and bury my head down in the sand, begin to cry, whimper, and carry on, and say, "Lord, you've lost. It's over with. We've lost the battle. That's it. We're finished. And now the devil's going to completely take over. What are we going to do?" But God said, "I have commanded." Look at the book of Isaiah, chapter number 46, verse 11. Now, he says back here in verse number 9, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." Watch this. "Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it." What's that mean? That means that we may be where Joseph was.
Amen.
We may be in that pit that our brethren dug for us. Or we may be down there locked up in the dungeon. We may be somewhere where Joseph and all that he went through, we may be there right now. It may not look real good right now. Things may not be going the way we want them to go right now. But you got to remember something. That's not your Savior. What do you do, preacher? I have commanded. Yes, he said that. You know what happened? He commanded. And he met the woman. Elijah met this widow woman. Would you give me something to eat? Bake some cake. She says, how can I do that? I've only got a little bit left. And this is all I have. And I'm going to go home and bake this. And my son and I are going to die. And that's going to be it. You see, she didn't understand what's going on. You don't have to understand it. Folks, if your service to God is all about understanding, you're in trouble. I don't understand a lot of things about the Lord. That's one thing I love about Him, though, because He's bigger than my mind. Amen! And so what happened? Well, you know what happened. The crews failed not. The food she ate all through the famine. They had something to eat simply because she believed the prophet. She believed what he said. You see, he went to a Canaanite, to a pagan. You know what the Lord said in the Bible? He said the prostitutes. The prostitutes will enter into the kingdom before you. This is one of the saddest things about being a pastor is to know the church has so many people in it. You've got everything up here, but you got nothing down here. You got nothing down here. It's all up here. Salvation is not a bunch of stuff you think. Salvation is what you believe from your heart. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. What's the difference between the mind and the heart? Why, you'll change your mind a half a dozen times today. You'll have stuff fly through your mind you never imagined, be coming from places. You'll think about stuff you did 40, 50, 60 years ago. Well, of course, you got to be 70 to do that. But you'll think about stuff you did 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. You'll think about all that. That's the past. That's your mind. That's your mind. But in the face of all of it, there's something that does not change. My heart. I believe in Him and I love Him. And I bless His righous name. Do you? Do you believe in Him? Do you love Him? That's not going to change. You see, in the face of all of this stuff that happens, you need to understand something about God. God knows what's happening. You ever stop to think that maybe He's doing it this way and He's using this way to work His will? Have you ever considered that? That I mean, even though the men, the people in politics, they may mean well, it's not about anybody meaning well. It's about, I have commanded. Are you following me? It will happen, he said, exactly the way I said it will happen. Amen. He may be laying the groundwork for the Antichrist. Who knows? We don't have any idea. So, let me notice something here in the Bible. I think it's beautiful. I want you to look to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. Hebrews 12. I love the book of Hebrews, but I love the book of Matthew. Well, I also love the book of John. I love all the books in this book right here. 66 of them. That's something, folks. It took nearly 2,000 years to write that Bible. If Job was written in 1900 B.C., it's 2,000 years. If Moses wrote Job, it's 1,500 years. Just remember that. We don't know who wrote Job. He's a contemporary of Abraham. So we have a Bible. It's old, been around a long time. Look at Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse 27. And this word, Hebrews 12, 27. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made. See, shaken, made, temporal, physical. That those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Yeah. We'll say, what cannot be shaken? The holiness of God can't be shaken. You remember the cherubim, seraphim rather, over there in Genesis, in Isaiah 6? Here's the most important thing I think of all of it. They're nothing but a ball of fire. It's the year that Uzziah died. And we find the prophet Isaiah in here, and he's in the Holy of Holies, and he's looking up. And I don't know how much God allowed him to see, but this whole place, the train of his glory, it's just like like fire just falling down and enfolding itself, just moving down like a waterfall, coming out of him, that glory of God with a sheen on it and transparency and the beauty of it. And the Bible says that the seraphim, and that's the Hebrew word saraph, which means to burn, so the burning ones. Now here's the part. The Bible says that they flew six wings. They had six wings, and with two, they covered their eyes. And they cried, "Holy, holy, holy." They covered their eyes. They couldn't stand to look upon the Holy One. Folks, we're privileged to see God in flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ, God in flesh. That's incarnation. That's God incarnate. Listen, folks, the Lord Jesus Christ is Almighty God incarnate. Any deviation from that, you're not a Christian. But that's God in flesh. Well, the Bible says we no longer know him after the flesh. He has ascended to the right hand of the Father. John says in John chapter number 3, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know when we see him, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Well, now, John got a glimpse of that in Revelation. Hair white as snow, countenance shining as the noonday sun. How many of you can look into the sun? You ever tried it? Just the sun. Just this little old miserable ball of fire up here. What is it, 90 million miles away from us. They say that our sun is one of the smaller stars out there. You know, it's no big deal. They say there are suns out there that are millions of times larger than our little old ball of fire. But we can't look into it. It'll burn our eyes up. Yet the Bible says he was shining greater than the sun. The Lord Jesus Christ is pure light. Pure light. Let me tell you something. For an unsaved man to come before pure light that lightens his wicked heart, that lightens his character, in other words, casts light upon him, would be one of the worst condemnations that he could ever imagine. Because John said men love darkness rather than light. So he shines. He shines. One day, these hands will be taken away. And we'll see the glory of God. But I can't do it with these eyes. I can no more see the glory of God with these eyes than I can see the sun. I know it's there. If I look at it for, I don't know, what, 30 seconds, minute, you're burned up. But one day we'll see him as he is. Amen. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. What God able to do for us, preacher? I have commanded. You may not know right now and have a clue of the work that God wants to do in your life and what he will do in your life. But when that word goes forth, you're going to see a change take place. Now here's, I'll quote, this is the last one I want to quote to you. And this is a good scripture. This is for us right here. Isaiah 30 verse 15. I believe God gave me this. For thus saith the Lord God, Isaiah 30, verse 15, the Holy One of Israel. Now look at this. In returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. We need to turn away from defeat and to turn away from human ability and to turn away from however well-meaning politics are. That didn't end anything for me. It simply opens up another door. Return to him. Some of you are beat to death today. COVID-19 is beating some people. They're scared to death. I understand fear. I understand it. Believe me. Because this is nothing to play with. This COVID-19 is no joke. But in him I live and move and have my being. Amen. I am not going to live the rest of my life scared to death. That's not how I'm going to live. I'm going to live my life in glory and joy. and I'm going to die on the battlefield, as that blue used to say. That's what's going to happen to me by the grace of God. Won't you come back to him today? Come back. You don't have to confess anything to me or anybody else in here. But you've drifted away. Maybe you found yourself somewhere locked up spiritually. You think God's forsaken you. He hadn't forsaken us. He hadn't forsaken us. He will work this to good. Amen. He will bring glory out of this for himself. Amen. When your enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard against him. And his banner over me, according to the Song of Solomon, you know what it is? What's his banner over me? What does it say? That's right. Love. Amen. In other words, God says to the hordes of hell as they come against you, stop! I love that one. Amen. Go find somebody else. Yep. And that's it. Father, in thy name I pray. Bless your holy word. I want to help somebody, Father. That's what I'm here for. Help somebody with this. Help them. I pray that somebody get some peace in their soul, get forgiveness of sin, get a burden lifted, get some direction. Heavenly Father, get their joy back. And God, walk out of this house today fully aware, no question about it, you have commanded. In your holy name I pray, and for Jesus' sake I ask it. Amen. Let's stand. Would you want to come down here and pray? Why don't you come down here and pray? Many of you have loved ones right now with this COVID-19. Folks, I've talked to people all week. And this brother got up and mentioned his mother. And that's good. He mentioned his mother. And she's got COVID-19. I want you to pray for her. Pray for her, please. Others in the church have COVID-19. I don't mention all the names. Brother McLeod and his wife, you've had it. And it's no joke, is it? But you're back. Amen. Pardon?
God touches.
Yes.
Amen.
He touches. Yes, he does. Amen. Yes, he does. He does. So let's pray for each other. Amen. Pray for one another. Remember, we've never been down this road before. Amen.